All right. Well, this was a story that I don't know what we were paying attention to last week that we, and granted, we're not a sports show, but UW-Madison appointed a new athletic director.
It's more than sports, too.
It is more than sports. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's definitely how well the football team's definitely an economic story. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how I totally missed this, but on July 1st, UW-Madison named a Wisconsin native as the new athletic director. And so I wanted to get a former Badger and our teammate, Ben Brust, in to talk about it. Because I asked him yesterday as he walked by, I was like, do you have opinions on this? He goes, do I have opinions? And I was like, all right, well, then come on and share them with
strong.
Us.
Yeah,
because
nice.
I know nothing about this guy. So welcome, Ben Brust, host of Kyle and Brust on ESPN Milwaukee.
Considering that as part of state tax dollars, it's going to help NIL as well.
I heard that conversation.
Come on, that's got to be something you guys talk about.
Oh, yeah. So Sean Eichhurst, tell us what you know about him.
Well, he was under the Barry Alvarez School of Learning to be an athletic director very early on in his career, so... when you think about Wisconsin, a lot of people say, okay, check. You know, Barry Alvarez has a statue. He's amazing. He's the Don. Some experience there. He was associate AD only 1 year when I was there. I think it was 07 to 11. I was there 10 to 11. So, again, I was a freshman. I didn't really know the athletic directors. I didn't play either as a freshman. But I remember seeing his face. But ultimately, where the majority of the conversation lands is his time at Nebraska as the athletic director. Coming into a school that has a strong pride of their football program, right? They still think they're living in the 90s, but they're not. But Bo Pelini was their head coach, and he had won consistently around 9 games in the fan base, although 9 games is good.
He had like a 3-1 win to loss average in his career there.
Correct.
Yes.
And so although that is good, I think the fan base is like, all right, can we take good to great? Maybe similarly to how Wisconsin Badgers fans looked at the time when Chris left and they brought in Fickell, and the expectations changed, like going from good to great, right? Like, I could argue they were great as well because they went to a 2017 Big Ten title and a 2019 Big Ten title. So there was something there. How do you take that to the next level? Now, he made a bad hire in Mike Riley, who struggled at Nebraska. So that's one portion of his journey. The interesting portion right now is he was in Texas. And at Texas as the deputy AD and a director of football operations, this is the new world of college athletics that he was a part of. For a major university for football.
This is UT, not AM.
Yeah, this is Texas, right? And so that's a lot of money that you have to raise and manage. So I think... when you look at it, you could be like, well, this guy really screwed something up at Nebraska. Or you can look at it in the other way of, well, he found success for a football program, managing money, being a part of the football program. And I like, in my mind, to say positive for would be, well, I understand that Nebraska didn't go that the way that I think he would have liked or the fans would have liked. But he was raising money for a huge institution. If you Google right now what the most important role of an athletic director is, it's not going to say what it said 10 years ago. It's going to say fundraising and money, and that's the number one aspect of what you need him to do.
That's the way I feel about this, because it seems like he potentially, because of his Texas experience, not necessarily Nebraska, he's wired for success. He understands the whole sphere of things that an AD has to work on now. Yeah, on-field success is great, and achieving the biggest thing, which is national championship, everybody wants that. Only some people get it. Only some institutions get it. This may be a deeper hire. Maybe he has all the other things that could essentially make that story work here.
You'd like to hope all the different experiences throughout the different eras will help him be the athletic director that, again, talking about an athletic director isn't that
fun. Not sexy at all.
But what I will say is he did join Wildian Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin, and I'm not going to say I walked away being like, wow. And I don't think you were ever going to, right? Like, it's not like he was Barry Alvarez saying buy your season tickets now. But what I do know is, as someone who grew up in an area where I never felt connected to a football program, when I came to Wisconsin, my eyes opened up to the experience. We went to Rose Bowl, freshman, sophomore, and junior year while I was in college. Obviously, senior year, we had success going to the Final Four. And then when I was gone, the national championship the year after, I mentioned the 17-19 success for the football team. All I care about is finding ways to win football games. He's come into a spot where the coach who's been there, you're paying $8 million a year, went 4-8. I know the schedule is tough, but I don't care. 4-8 is unacceptable for the amount of money that you've put towards a head football coach. Now, getting all the other assets and resources put together where you can raise the right money, recruit the right kids, get the right kids in the transfer portal, that better work this year, because again, if it doesn't, like, you're kind of in a lame duck situation where you have to prove that you are worth the job, Luke Fickell. Otherwise, as a new AD, similarly but different from an Ed policy standpoint for the Packers, he decided to extend Matt LaFleur after his contract was going to head into that 1 year or null, and he didn't want that. But he's got to perform. And all I care about is seeing wins on the football field. You know why? Because if you win on the football field, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah.
You already have a great Wisconsin volleyball head coach in Kelly Sheffield. They continuously make Final Fours in volleyball. You could talk about Mark Johnson. He's been amazing for the women's hockey team. Men's hockey, they went to a Frozen Four. So, like, all that is good, but the long-term effects, it'd be hard to continuously sustain that success if you don't have the football program driving revenue as much as possible.
Can you stick around for another segment?
You can do whatever you want.
I want to ask you, as a basketball superstar for Madison, if you're angry or mad that the football team gets most of the attention. But Ben Brust, our guest, he's a star on ESPN and all-around good guy. I see him all the time at work here at the Good Karma Brands. So I guess I'll put it from a fan's perspective. So much attention on the football program. And that sort of drives everything, whether it's the coaching staff, Luke Fickell under the gun this year after a 4-8 season last year, as you talked about earlier, and all the other success. But the AD is responsible for all of that. But again, the hyper-focus on football, you're a basketball star for Madison. What does that make you feel like? It's like, is that just the nature of the business now? Football wins, everything else is just sort of tag along?
I mean, a little bit different, because when I was playing, we were able to go to a Final Four.
You guys were good.
Yeah, for the first time since 2000. And then they went again in 2015. So that was an experience where students were able to experience great football and basketball at the same time. So that was obviously creating an unbelievable environment. But even sitting here right now as someone who's an alum of the basketball team, I'm not like, I know Greg Gard's doing a great job of the transfer portal. I know the conversation is they want to see him get to the second weekend for the first time since 2017. But even in my mind, it's football. It's football. It's football. It's football.
Is it because football can bring in so much more money? Because obviously so many more people can go to a football game.
I think it's just because it's the nature of the state. This is a football state at the end of the day. People have traditions on Sunday. Every morning when they wake up, they know what they're going to do to get ready for a Packer game. People have traditions every Saturday that there's a home game in Madison in Camp Randall.
Even people who'd never went to UW-Madison.
Correct. Yeah. Like myself, as somebody who never went up to Wisconsin until I came here, my eyes opened up to this whole new world. I was like, this is amazing. You're telling me on Saturdays in September, in October, it's beautiful outside. Now, I didn't get to enjoy them as much in October because then we started practicing and started gearing up. But we usually have one game or two games in September where we could immerse ourselves in that experience. And that experience is unmatched. And when you have a great product, you have the environment, you have the fandom, you have the tailgating, you have everything you need to create an unbelievable experience that keeps you coming back for more. Winning helps that, right? I think it's still fun to go up for a weekend and get together with people who are alumni, but it also drives people who aren't alumni to it because it becomes an appointment viewing thing where it's like, I can't miss a game at Camp Randall. I don't care who they're playing. The team's good right now. If I can get this ticket for this game, I got to do it. And there's none of that right now.
Is this AD hire a safe hire?
Safe-ish. I wouldn't call it full safe, but I would say safe-ish. I mean,
got the pedigree.
Anytime in Wisconsin, it feels as if they have Wisconsin in their background, grew up here or was here, you're going to call it safe. I thought it was an opportunity to maybe go outside the box. I know they did that with football with Luke Fickell, but were you able to maybe get somebody from a different organization? I say organization because it's what it feels like in college athletics now. It's basically run like a professional sports team. Could you get somebody who had success that was a bad program but had success in NIL? There's examples of teams that were so bad over the last 20 years that have come into the forefront.
Well, isn't that that's Indiana, like the reigning
Indiana,
national
obviously,
championships,
right? Like Vanderbilt, you wouldn't think was a good football program, but they did a good job of finding ways to put a successful team out there relative to where they have been. So that's where I'm leaning into the fact that he was at Texas, right? And if he's got the Wisconsin background and was around a powerhouse SEC school to raise money and see success there, I'm hoping that bridging the Wisconsin and the experience plus the fundraising equals success for Sean Eichhorst and the football team.
Where do we rank currently when it comes to fundraising? Because I know like Michigan State had the CEO of AquaSure. Yeah, they donated like $230 million or whatever.
There's Cuban wrote a $30 to $40 million check after the first year of showing success.
So where do we stand? And isn't this part of the criticism for McIntosh? Because like he didn't return people's phone calls who wanted to donate, right?
Yeah, that's the thing is ultimately that's why I led with what I led with from the job of an AD. It's not what it used to be. It's not as much administration as much as it is relationship building, donor base building, fundraising. And so that's obviously where I continue to just go back to the same talking point that I have, because it's all we really have on him for in this era.
How does that make you feel as a guy who played?
Jealous.
Okay. I was going to say, as a guy who played, your teammate, Nigel Hayes, was part of the lawsuit, wasn't he?
Yes, and I remember when I was gone, he was maybe a junior at Wisconsin College Game Day, had come to Madison, he was holding a sign with his Venmo or something, got in trouble for that, but like, I know some of the figures of what some of these players are making, and it's an insane amount of money, and I don't blame them, because in this, if you can get it, go get it. But I'm definitely jealous, considering how
much success. Is there any part of you that thinks there's a better way to do it? Or are you like, this is what it should have always been?
Whatever I think doesn't matter, because what felt like was going to get better in terms of regulations and whatnot, it has not gotten any closer. There's supposed to be like third party, I think it was Deloitte or something, was going to like look at all of the NIL deals and make sure it's fair market value. But who's to say what's fair?
Yeah.
Right? Like how do you say what's fair for a kid to get on an NIL endorsement? But it's not even NIL. That's the one term I hate. It's not name, image, and likeness. You're just paying players is what it is. Yeah. It drives me nuts. So like in this NIL era, it's not the NIL. It's just paying players is what it is.
You can hear more of that. Kyle and Bruss coming up at 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Kyle is back from his honeymoon, so I will have him. That's right.
He finally married that girl, huh?
Yes.
Nice.
It was like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Not that long.
Well, I just got a new producer who's been with his girlfriend for 9 years. So.
Oh, you got to roast him.
What's. Well,
he's new. I got to make sure I can roast him.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, let's find out the backstory on that one. Ben Bruss, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.